Now, you'd say, Pastor, that's pretty much a pretty simple, straightforward question, and the answer is absolutely not. But the truth about it is, this morning, all over the world, there are people who name the name of Christ who haven't built a defense whenever it comes to temptations in life, and so invariably, they're going to end up devastating and destroying their life. Not wanting to, not planning on it. I don't think anyone in their right mind, when they're a young person and maybe a young Christian, says, you know what, eventually I want to hurt and damage my life. But what happens is this. Satan does everything he can to keep you out of this book. I can guarantee you there's one thing that's going to happen to you throughout the rest of your life. You're going to face a battle by Satan to get into this book. Why? Because when you get into the Word of God, you begin to develop a defense against temptation, and you become armed with all those armors that's necessary when it comes to battling temptation. And so because Satan is no respecter of person, here's what he does. You know, temptation comes into your life, and you don't really think about it, but he just needles away one day at a time, one day at a time, and all of a sudden, somewhere down the road, you give in or you cave in to temptation. That's the reason for this series that we're in, because every one of us, men and women alike, we need to have a proper understanding whenever it comes to temptation. So if you'll turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 or chapter 2, I want to read one verse, and then over to the book of James, chapter 1. Just one verse out of the book of Hebrews. I want you to listen to it very carefully. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Or the word succor means he is able to help them that are tempted. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. And then if you'll turn back to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, passage that we shared this morning, that we shared in unison together. Listen to what James says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. My brethren, count it all, what's the next word? Joy, when you fall into divers temptation. My brethren, and my sisters as well, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And then if you'll turn back to the Gospel of Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, listen carefully to what the Bible says. This is Jesus speaking to Peter, and he's reminding Peter that Satan wants to sift him as wheat. Satan has a desire to sift his life, to devastate and destroy him. Listen to what the Bible says. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Look back at verse 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, if there's one truth that I can echo to every one of us as we begin in this message this morning, there is a desire in Satan to get you. There is a desire in Satan to ruin you. Satan is going to do everything in his devilish, demonic, wicked power to try to devastate your life. So that's why you and I need to own up to and need to understand the truth about temptation and developing a proper understanding whenever it comes to temptation. Why? Because temptations are going to come by your life. One of the major arenas that Satan is using all over the world and has for hundreds and thousands of years is in the area of sensuality, in the area of sex. It is a wise person that owns up to their area of weakness. It's a wise man. It's a wise woman who owns up to their area of weakness. But I want you to follow along with me this morning because I want to deal with some other principles that you and I need to understand whenever it comes to temptation. First of all, in Hebrews, here's what the writer is saying. He said, Jesus has faced every temptation that you and I have faced, and so he knows what we're going to go through. He lived in a human body. He had all human emotions as you and I do. He was a man tempted in like manner, like all of us. And so he knows what it is to be a human being. He knows what it is to have a body that gets tired and it gets weary. He knows what it is to have a body that needs rest and needs sleep. He knows what it is to have a body that gets hungry. So when you think about Jesus withstanding temptation, don't you dare think for a moment that he withstood temptation as God, because the Bible says God can't be tempted. So Jesus was tempted in every way, just like you and I are. So you and I need to understand some very sobering principles and truths. And first of all, we need to understand this one basic principle: all temptations can be resisted. Listen, one of the greatest lies that Satan utilizes on you and me is this: well, you know what? You're going to give in someday, so you may as well give in and you may as well cave in today. You know, you're going to be, you know, I'm going to keep needling you with this temptation or that temptation, so you may as well give in. After all, you know, I'm going to work on you again tomorrow, and I'm going to work on you again the next day, and I'm going to work on you again the day after that. But Satan will never tell you the truth. You need to understand that Satan is a chronic liar. He can't tell the truth. There's no truth in him. And so he will never tell you the truth. Well, what is the truth? Now, I want you to follow along very carefully and very clearly and listen to me very carefully. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, or verse chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? Now, that was a weak amen, because you're going to need to listen to this very carefully. Greater is he that is in me, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, than he that's in the world. Why do I need to know that, and why do you need to know that? Because there are going to come those satanic temptations, and if you're not ready, here's what people say: well, I just can't handle it. I'm just a human being. How am I going to weather the storm? Because you have the risen Christ living on the inside of your life. Amen? Listen, if you're going to heaven, he's there. If he's not on the inside of your life, then you need to make a confession of faith and invite Christ into your life to be your Lord and Savior. What is John saying to these precious saints? He said, you need to get an understanding truly of who you are. I'm not just fighting this fight of temptation by myself. And as I shared last week, the Lord knows every temptation we face. He's not surprised when you face sexual temptations or financial temptations or whatever temptations that you may face. He's never surprised at that. And see, the reality of it is, you know, what are we going to do with the truth of Scripture? Am I going to rely on, believe what God has said about me, that I have the risen Son, Jesus Christ, living on the inside of me? Or am I going to live as though Jesus isn't there? Am I going to cave in and listen? Jesus is, if you're a Christian, he's there, and he's going to let you know when temptations come. And he's going to know, you're going to know that he's there. He's going to guide you. And the reality of it is, you know, he lives inside of you. He can never leave you. You say, well, I've done some questionable things in my life, and I've done some things that aren't very nice, and I'm not very pleased with. I'm sorry. Jesus can't go anywhere. He is there for all of eternity. Amen? Think about it. When all the world blows up, you've got Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. So what do? Whenever you face a temptation, Satan, Jesus Christ is in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Get behind me, Satan. Well, Satan don't want you to practice that. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to needle your area of weakness, and you know what your area of weakness is, because we all have one that we're more vulnerable to than any other one. And he's going to work on your area, and he's going to say, you can't resist, but that is a lie straight out of hell. And here's why. Did Jesus resist every temptation of Satan? Yes or no? Say it out loud. If Jesus resisted every temptation and he lives on the inside of me, doesn't he empower me to resist every temptation that comes into my life? Yes. And so what happens is this. The more I learn the truth, the more I understand the truth. Listen, he brings some image into my mind, or he brings something by my life. He brings some whatever it may be. And what do I have to do? All I need to do is claim the truth of who I am in Jesus Christ. And you see, when you know the truth sets you free. The truth enables you to live in victory. You say, well, I have horrible thoughts from time to time. Listen to me real carefully. It's not necessarily the thought that's a sin. Have you ever seen things that you shouldn't have seen? You didn't want to see it, but you'd already seen it. You know what I'm talking about. And you know, but you didn't want it. Heard things you didn't want to hear. You hear all sorts of people saying foul things. Did you want to hear it? No. But you can't put a hand over their mouth. They might call the police on you. But the reality of it is you can't help but hear some things, can't help but see some things. You know, and I'm not talking about putting yourself in temptation. Don't you ever do that. But we live in that world, and here's where it is. Temptation, whenever you yield, there's got to be something, that grabbing on in your spirit, that grabbing on in your heart. And so Jesus makes it very clear. I live on the inside of your heart, so yes, they are resistible. You say, well, how do you resist temptation? I shared with you last week. Every one of you are going to have mental missiles that come through your mind. Let me tell you why. Satan don't attack me through my little pinky. I have never had the devil to attack me through my little pinky. You know, my little finger. I've never had him to attack me through my big toe. He attacks me in the fabric of my mind. He attacks you in the fabric of your mind. So what is he going to do? He's going to give you images. He's going to throw things inside of your mind. And then he's going to say, you want that. That sounds good. That looks good. And here's the truth. That doesn't fit who I am in Jesus Christ. You remember that prayer I led you in last week? How many of you remember that prayer last week? Raise your hand. Folks, it's a life and death situation. If you remember the prayer last week, raise your hand. Because this is your life and my life that's on the line. Now, here's the reality. Because there are bodies laying everywhere of people that have surrendered to temptation. And here's what they say. Well, what's the big deal? I'll tell you the big deal. It's found in one particular chapter, one particular verse. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says it real simple. I want you to listen very carefully. The wages of sin is death. How many of you want to die before you die? How many of you want to have a dead character before you die? How many of you want to have a dead integrity? How many of you want to have a dead family? I mean, you know, your family is divided. I mean, there's a death and there's all sorts of things. Listen, here's what the Lord says, and he makes it very clear. The reason you and I need to take seriously this fight against temptation is this. The wages or the price of whenever you give in to sin is death. That is the reality of God's word. And so, you know, here's what happens. Person gives in to some type of sexual desire. They have sex with somebody else that's, you know, it's outside of marriage, outside of whatever God has ordained. And all of a sudden they realize they've messed up their life. All of a sudden, maybe that's a married person. Their wife finds out. She says, I want a divorce. And the children are absolutely devastated. The children are absolutely, you know, side by side, you know, beside themselves. They can't imagine what's going on in my home's life. What's going on with mom? What's going on with dad? Because the wages of sin is a death. And there's Christians that, listen, oftentimes we sort of help assassinate our families. You say, well, I wouldn't ever do that. You know what we do? We just sort of cave into the pressure. We give in to some of these temptations that come down the pike. And there's many a home this morning that is facing one type of death or another. Maybe it's a relational death. Mom and dad are no longer close because something happened in the relationship. Something happened to mom. Something happened to dad. Something they did. And you see, the thing about it is, when you are willing to surrender to temptation, you're going to destroy your family. You're going to destroy your life. Now listen to me real carefully. You say, Pastor, that's just your opinion. No, it's not. Listen to the eternal word of a holy, flawless, unchanging God. The wages of sin is death. And you see, that's why a lot of believers this morning, notice I didn't say Christians. They believe in Jesus Christ. They've invited Christ. And there's a lot of believers that they're saved. They're going to heaven when they die, but their home's a hell on earth. Why? Because they've given in to temptation. They've quit serving the Lord in one way or the other. They've given in to this. They've given in to that. They've given in to the other. Or maybe they've watched mom and dad do it. Listen, I say this to every dad and every mother. It is so important you stand firm when it comes time to temptation, because you're teaching your children something. They may be 3, they may be 30, but you're teaching your children something. And you give in to temptation, you surrender and you cave in, and you'll watch as your children flounder around. You think, what did I do to my children? What happened? Well, you didn't resist. And there's so many temptations that Satan throws at us, and he's going to do it till the day you die. But you need to remember this. You give in to this temptation, you yield to it, And there's going to be a death in your life. I can promise you that. Because God cannot be mocked. And you see, the thing about it is we sell our lives so short. You know, I mean, we don't take our lives sometimes serious enough. You know, Satan is interested in your life. He's interested in my life. He's interested in you to destroy you. Listen to me very carefully. Satan is never out just to hurt you. Satan will not just hurt you. His goal is to destroy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so first and foremost, we need to understand that all temptations can be resisted. Listen, doesn't matter. And let me say this. You put yourself in situations where temptation rises. You know, and some people say, well, you know, I don't see anything wrong with this movie. I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong. You're putting yourself in a situation. You know, I don't see anything wrong. I've had people say, well, I don't see anything wrong with me working with this person. And all of a sudden, a work relationship becomes an affair. And that affair breaks a marriage up. Why? Because they didn't listen to the Holy Spirit teach them and tell them. Don't you realize that Satan is going to work on you? He's going to try to do everything he can. So you need to take your life serious. Second of all temptations are focused at our point of vulnerability. Now, you don't have to turn there, but in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, you remember Jesus had been in the wilderness and, you know, he'd been there for 40 days. That's a month and 10 days. You know, sometimes for us, it's hard to go an hour and 10 minutes without eating, isn't it? But Jesus had been there for 40 days. Now, if you look carefully at the text, the Bible says after that time, Satan came to him and tempted. Why? Because he lived in a body like you and me. Satan can't tempt God, folks. Satan tempted Jesus' humanity. He said, why don't you, and he gave three particulars. Why don't you command these stones to be made bread? You're hungry. Why don't you throw yourself down? Because, you know, your angels will have power over you. All these dominions, all these will I give you if you'll bow down and worship me, said Satan. Now, here's the reality. When you look at the life of Jesus, here is a principle. Satan aimed at Jesus' area of weakness when he had gone 40 days without food. Do you get the picture? There is a time in your life, a day and time when you're more vulnerable than at other times. There is a time of the day that you're more vulnerable to yield to temptation than at other times. And you see, whenever you look in this text, whenever you look in Matthew, whenever you look all throughout Scripture, you find others. One such example is of the life of Joseph. Joseph had been rejected by his brothers, and he didn't have any friendships around. And here came Potiphar's wife. Now, I want to say this. I want you to listen to me real carefully. You be careful when you're lonely. Because here came Potiphar's wife, and I'm sure she might have said, well, you know what? Your brothers have rejected you, and you don't have anybody, Joseph, and I'm here. Joseph, I'm here. Why don't you just tell me your problems? Let's go to bed together, and that'll solve all the problems. Now, listen. If you're not going to be honest with yourself, you're going to fall in temptation. I can tell you that just as sure as I'm standing here. In the life of Jesus, there was an area and time in which he was physically weaker, and Satan used that time. There's a time in your life and my life. And throughout Scripture, you can find those times. Satan oftentimes launches his attacks and his strikes and his anvil of devastation to us, try to get us to yield to temptation. And one particular time when you're hungry. You know, there's all sorts of types of hunger. You need someone, you need a friend. You don't have a friend, and so you feel that hunger of aloneness. You know, sometimes Satan does things to try to get us to yield to temptation when we're angry. Have you ever done something in the heat of anger that you would to God you could go back and erase? You know, somebody is angry and you don't usually say when you're in the heat of anger, have a good day, do you? Then when you're lonely, when you're tired. I've shared this before, but it's worth sharing again. It's an acrostic you need to remember for the rest of your life. And I say this to young people as well. You remember the word, halt. Never get too hungry. Never get too angry. Never get too lonely. Never get too tired. And you see, think about it for a moment. What do you think would have happened to Joseph if he had given in? What do you think? Well, God would have forgiven him. You see, that's our answer for everything. God will forgive me, but you can destroy your life by giving in to temptation. You say, well, God will forgive me and restore it. Who says? You say, well, doesn't God restore you? Yes, he forgives you. And, you know, the Bible says he forgives. But when you devastate your character, listen, you get one opportunity for life to develop your character right. When your character is broken, it's broken. And even God himself cannot completely remake it because you've chosen to break your character. So number three, well, what if I weather the storms of temptation? Now, Satan is going to aim his daggers at your life and my life. But here's the reality. Here's the principle of Scripture. When you and I weather the storms of temptation, we position our life to receive God's best. Let me give you an example out of the Old Testament. Joseph, you remember in the Old Testament. Here was Potiphar's wife, as I just mentioned. She wanted him to go to bed. And that meant everything that was involved in it. But he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't allow himself to yield to that temptation. And so he kept, you know, resisting her, and finally he ran out of the house one time. Sometimes, young people, you have to run away from temptation. You have to leave. Maybe somebody's wanting you to do something. You need to leave their presence. The Bible says that Joseph, he ran out of her presence. Did she lie on him? Yes. Now, let me say this. Other people want to lie on you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry if other people lie on you. You say, well, I'm scared to death people will lie. Let me ask you a question. If you're innocent and God knows you're innocent, isn't that enough? Now listen carefully. Joseph was lied upon. People talked about him. But you know what he did? He left his vindication to Holy God. If God's not big enough to vindicate you, then we need to find some other God to serve. But our God is Holy God. He's Almighty God. He'll vindicate you. You just leave it to him. Joseph said, I'm going to leave my life in God's hands. He left his life in God's hands. And listen, God in the right time pulled him out of the prison and he put in the mind of Pharaoh to make him second in command. Why? Because here was a man that wouldn't compromise. Here was a man that wouldn't compromise his character, his principles. He wouldn't compromise what God had put in him because he knew that his life was serious business. And the truth about it is, your life and my life is serious business to God. Oftentimes, you know, somebody say, well, I just don't see anything wrong in this and this and this. And, you know, I don't see anything wrong going to this movie and that other movie. You know what? That's not even the right question to ask. You say, well, what do you mean? The Bible says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. You know what? You go to a movie and you have to leave it, other people feel convicted. But here's the reality in the life of Joseph. He wouldn't give in. He wouldn't cave in. And you know what that positioned him for? I want you to listen. Do you think God looks at your life and maybe you were resisting some type of sexual temptation? Somebody's trying to flirt with you. Somebody's trying to get you to do. And you're going to be a man of integrity. You're going to be a woman of integrity. You're going to be a young person of integrity. You're not going there. You're not going to do that stuff. You're not going to fall for that. You're not going to give in to that stuff. Do you think God is watching you and not going to pay you back? Oh, no. You listen, you just wait and you watch and you wait and you watch in the right time, in the right way, in the right circumstances. God will honor your character and integrity. And listen, he may put you in a place of command. He may promote you because here's the fact. When you withstand temptation, you position your life to receive the best of God's blessings. Why? Because you're taking seriously the command of God. Do you know what happens, though, a lot of times? We don't want to say it. And it sounds really horrible, but I want you to listen to me real carefully. Sometimes believers act like atheists. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? We know we're saved, but we act like it doesn't really matter to God, or he's not looking or watching, or we're going to get around it. Can I tell you this? You don't sin against God and get by. And here's what the Father says. I know the devil wants you. Jesus said to Peter, said, Simon, he said, I'm calling you by name. I know the devil wants you. He wants every one of you. Listen, I've watched enough Christians be destroyed. I've seen good men and women go down. And here's what I've noticed as they went down. They, somewhere along the way, they forgot to be, or they failed to be, or refused to be honest with themselves about temptation. I've seen preachers go down. And don't you dare think for one moment that you're not prey for Satan. And you see, the reality of it is, if I yield to temptation, you and I yield to temptation, it will cost us the best of everything. You see, we don't think it through. And, you know, God declares that there's a death. Wives, you go home and your husband says, I've got to tell you something. I did something that I'm so ashamed of. No, you may not divorce him. But I can tell you this. The relationship will have a hard time being the same. Or maybe the situation's vice versa. You see, some things we say, well, we're just not going to deal. We're not going to think about that. We're not going to talk about it. I don't know about you, but Satan hits me in the real world and real life and real living. Amen? You know, he doesn't say, Benny, I'm going to bother you on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'm going to throw this. Listen, it's an all-out attack. Why? Because Satan loves to get anybody. He loves to get any Christian. And you see, when you look in the life of many in Scripture, you know, Adam and Eve. You know, Cain killed Abel. Do you think that for one moment that when Eve ate the forbidden fruit, didn't do what God told her to do, that she thought one of her kids was going to kill one of the other? Do you think that she thought that yielding to temptation would mean murder in her family? And the truth about it is, oftentimes we think, it's no big deal. What's the big deal, Pastor? Because it can mean murder. It can mean death. And the reality about it is, more times than not than what we like to think, it does. It means a death of some type. You know, sometimes, and I never will forget his life, and he's with the Lord now. I only use his first name. His name was Cecil. He's with the Lord. He died some years ago. But he came to me one time and he said, Benny, I was unfaithful to my wife. I didn't ask him to tell me what he told me, but he just told me. He said, I was unfaithful to her. I didn't treat her right. I did some things that I'm not pleased with. And he said, I went back to her and I begged her to take me back. And she took me back. And he treated her like a queen. But I could tell every time that I would see him that there was that agony of regret that I have broken a relationship that God gave me, a trust. And I've broken that with my wife. And you see, the truth about it is, you give in to temptation, it may cost you the best of everything. And you may be here this morning. You say, everything is going to pot. Everything is going south. You know, look at Abraham and look at Sarah. Look at so many around you. And the reality about it is, you know, it took the Lord years to work that situation out. Why? Because of what they did. And you see, listen, your life is not your property. One of the worst mistakes that we make in our, you know, it's my life, it's my business, I can do what I want to. No, it's not. Your life does not belong to you. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you own your life, then that means He's not purchased you and you're lost. And you see, the truth about it is, yielding to temptation not only devastates our life and our children, but here's what it does. Puts our children in danger. You know, think about it for a moment. As I mentioned a moment ago, when Adam and Eve violated the will of God, if you yield into a temptation, give in to a temptation, say, well, do you ever stop and think you're destroying your children's life? In one seminary class, a professor did this to his students. He said, now, I want you to write for this entire class period everyone that you know. Didn't give them a reason for doing it. He said, write, just start writing people's names you know. They started writing for 50 minutes. Those kids wrote. And here's what the professor said at the end. You hurt your life spiritually, give in to temptation, and fall. That's everyone plus many more that you'll hurt. And it caused them to stop and think. Your life isn't an island. My life's not an island. I affect everyone I see. I affect every relationship. And you see, in the life of Adam and Eve, what if they'd obeyed God? What if? Well, we know they rebelled, but here's, listen, mom and dad taught them to disobey God. Now I want to ask you a straightforward answer to every parent. By your life, are you teaching obedience or rebellion to God's word? Now, won't you listen to me real carefully? You're teaching one of the two. You're either teaching obedience or you're teaching rebellion. And it will, if it has not already come to haunt you, it will come to haunt you in ways. Why? Because God's laws are never, never, when it comes to being, you know, unaffected, they always affect our life, affect our relationships. And see, but here's what happens. When we yield to temptation, not only does it put our kids in danger, robs our kids of the best. Think about this for a moment. How many of you want your children to be like Cain? How many, do you know anybody that's got a child named Cain? Know anybody that wants to be like Jezebel? We like the names like David, don't we? And John. Why do we like David? Because they're our heroes. Because they share an impeccable life. They show a life that was used of God. Now here's the reality. When you yield to temptation, you may rob your children of the best. I know some people who, meeting like this, I say, well, I can take it or leave it. And they even name the name of Christ. Be that as it is, there's a command in Scripture that we're to obey when it comes to worship. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. And then when it comes to temptation, you know, you're doing something toward your kids, whether they end up having a blessed life or a blighted life. And you know, but when it comes to temptation, here's the reality. What am I doing with them? Do I realize that Jesus Christ is on the inside of me? And that whatever missile comes down my life, Lord Jesus, that don't fit who I am in Christ. Get it out of my mind. Lord Jesus, that thought don't fit who I am. Get it out of my mind. Or you're just going to let them come and do with them whatever you want to? The reason for thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of destroyed lives in the lives of Christians is found in the reality somebody didn't resist temptation somewhere, and they just gave in. This morning, all over the world, there are people who named the name of Christ, and they decided, you know, one night stand's not that bad. And they'll go home, and they'll find out how bad it is. They'll lose their wife, they'll lose their children, they'll lose relationships because they didn't weather the storm. Listen to me very carefully. Temptations are going to come. That's a reality. You can't keep them from coming because Satan is alive and he's well and he's on this earth. He's seeking someone to devour, and so are his demons. But you don't have to give in, because you have Jesus living on the inside of your heart if you're a Christian. Amen? And Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for the sobering truth that you speak to us. And Father, you remind us through your word that we can withstand temptation by the power of the Holy Spirit? Because we have Jesus Christ. We have the very Son of God living. Living every single minute of every single day inside of our lives. Thank you for that, Father. And I pray for that person this morning who needs to come. Father, maybe they're saved and they need to come. They need to follow you, join this fellowship. Maybe they need to follow you in believer's baptism. Maybe that person's here who's lost and doesn't know what it is to know the forgiveness of sin. Father, you'll forgive them and cleanse them of all unrighteousness if they'll simply admit and confess. Father, maybe there's someone here who needs to come from a sister church and just unite their life in this fellowship. Father, pray you have your will and your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.